This story grabs your attention by its very title, The Airmen and the Headhunters, a true story of lost soldiers, heroic tribesmen, and the unlikeliest rescue of World War II. It's one of those spellbinding stories that have you saying, they just don't seem to make them like they used to. But the tale is true, and to tell it, we have with us author Judith M. Hyman, a career diplomat who lived in Borneo for 2 years, and we also have on the line one of the surviving airmen of the story, Dan Illerich. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Glad to be with you.
Let's start with Judith Hyman first. Would you please give us the short version of what happened to this American air crew back on November the 16th, 1944, in the South Pacific?
Well, they were in a B-24 bomber, and they were shot up over Brunei Bay, just on the northwest coast of Borneo, just due east of Vietnam. They'd been briefed, they and their squadron, to attack maybe a couple of Japanese vessels sighted in the bay, but when they got there, the entire Japanese Pacific Fleet was firing up at them. It was the youngest, one of the youngest crews in the Air Force, mostly under age 20, and the eight surviving airmen jumped, their first parachute jump ever, into the middle of north-central Borneo.
Now, let me stop you there for a second. Dan Illerich, what did you know about the jungle?
Nothing, other than what little bit we'd been taught by the Australians in New Guinea when we were going through replacement depot on the way to assignment. So we really didn't know much about the jungle.
Did you know there were any tribesmen there?
No. We're unaware of the circumstances in Borneo because we'd never had any intent of going there or being there.
Some of the airmen had heard about the wild men of Borneo, which was a Barnum and Bailey line, and they'd known, some of them, that the people in this part of Borneo had been, and maybe still were, notorious headhunters. When they parachuted into this canopy of trees that looked like bunches of broccoli, they really didn't know what to do. And then they saw men in loincloths coming out of the bush towards them with machetes and blowpipes with spears on the ends of them.
So what was your first reaction, Dan, when you see these fierce headhunters of Borneo coming toward you? Did you worry about your head?
I was on the ground with our bombardier, Phil Korn, trying to figure out what we were going to do. We realized that there must have been civilization, something close to us, because there were some holes to dug out canoes. And our first encounter with the natives was motion across the small river from us. And as they appeared out of the jungle, they were about as apprehensive as us as we were of them. Well, Phil decided that one of the best things we could do was to indicate that we weren't going to do them any harm.
You weren't hostile.
We weren't hostile. Lay our weapons down and back off. And the natives indicated they weren't going to be hostile. They've set their blowpipes down. And as they approached us, one of those natives looked down and saw the USA on the holster and immediately commenced shouting, USA, USA. They recognized that we were not Japanese and we were not there to harm them.
Judith Hyman, picking up the story there, there's this encounter between these downed American airmen. They don't know how many have survived. They don't know who's severely wounded and who's able-bodied. They hardly know where they are. One guy has a map of Borneo and a silk handkerchief in his pocket, but he's separated from the others anyway. Who rallies them? There's another person who enters this story.
Well, the first thing that happens is when they all throw down their weapons is the tribesmen shake hands. And then they took the airmen to their longhouse. A longhouse is a whole village up on stilts. It's one great room under one roof. And there they saw human skulls dangling from that roof. But nonetheless, the airmen knew they had no choice but to behave like guests, not soldiers.
Why didn't the tribesmen kill them?
Well, they didn't know exactly what to do with them, and so what they did is they went to the person they knew who had the most experience with dealing with such foreigners, and that was their district officer. He was an Indonesian from another island. He'd been put in charge by the Dutch colonial regime, and when the Dutch left and the Japanese took over, the Japanese kept him there. This is a man named Makahanap, and he was Christian educated.
William Makahanap.
William Makahanap. And he was a very, very clever man. And he went and got together with all of the headmen of the area and spent days consulting with them, making sure they knew that if the Japanese knew they were hiding the airmen, that they would be tortured and killed. And the headmen all know that. And they ask him, who will win this war? And he answers with another question. What if the Yanks win and we have not helped them?
Rather than rush in, Makahanap, as you say, builds this elaborate plot that swears everyone to secrecy. They take blood oaths with each other, and it takes him days and days and days.
And it had a special ironic twist to it, because half the local people had been converted to evangelical Christianity, and they had all been taught that to tell a lie, even for a very good reason, would send them straight to hell when they died. So the district officer had his laugh to himself as he realized that he couldn't ask the help of the Christian tribal leaders to hide the airmen, because if a Japanese came up and said, where are the airmen, they'd have to say. So he had to ask his non-Christian tribal leaders if they would hide him, because they could lie. And not only were they willing to lie, but eventually they went back to headhunting, which had been abandoned before the war. But this time, they only took Japanese heads.
Judith Hyman, you've called these headhunters, these ex-headhunters, a very appealing people. Daniel Lurch, would you agree?
Oh, yes, they were good people. Can you imagine jumping into a community of people and these people taking us to heart and managing our survival? And they had to be compassionate people to do that. Of course, they also hated the Japanese because the Japanese weren't very good to them. But they were good people. There's no question about that.
Well, it is an absolutely extraordinary story. I'm so glad we got to hear it. Judith Hyman is a former diplomat and author of The Airmen and the Headhunters. And Dan Illerich was one of those American airmen. Thank you both very, very much for being with us for Veterans Day weekend.
Thank you.
It's been a privilege.